This is the Kennedy Malloy Catch-Up. Thanks to our friends at CUB. Visit loveofyourlocal.com.au. Buy a beer voucher and CUB will match your donation pint for pint when you head in to redeem. It's good to be back.
Listen up, Australia. They're not here.
They're not here.
They're off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch.
So we've got some best bits for you.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Yeah, thanks to Carlton and United Breweries, the Tap Torch, celebrating doors reopening. Visit loveofyourlocal.com.au, buy a beer voucher, and CUB will match that donation pint for pint when you head in to redeem. I hope you're well. Thanks for tuning in. Jane and Mick, they're back July 13 to drive you home in studio live. But hey, we've dug up some great stuff for you to play this afternoon. Don't worry about that. Coming up, Jane's Royal Quiz. Coughing in Parliament with the Treasurer, Charlie Pickering, and the one and only Ross Noble. Coming up right after this.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
You never know what's going to happen when Ross Noble joins the show. Combine that with Mick's strange take on the flamingo and, well, what could possibly go wrong?
I say it's a design flaw. I'd say it's one of the most poorly constructed birds in the jungle. For a start, it's pink and the jungle's green. It's like, yeah. I'm here. It's got long legs.
Showy.
Right, it's showy. Yeah. And then it's got feathers. Then it's got a reverse beak that you have to, like, put your head down backwards to get in the water.
I mean, skinny legs.
Whoever designed that's had a couple. It's not a silky idea, is it?
Well, I mean, my favourite fact about the flamingo is the reason that they're pink is because their food's pink. And they eat like
what are
they
eating?
Things.
You're correct.
Like,
you're correct.
Yeah, like shrimp. So the
and
more
algae.
They eat, exactly. The more they eat, the pinker they get. So
if they had a potato, they would turn white. Is that what you're saying?
All I'm saying is, why don't you just put a bit of money up and feed them Guinness? You know, because the toucan.
Let's see what happens.
You know, the toucan.
You know, not helping itself out.
They're basically associated with Guinness, aren't they? But I would put forward that if the toucan stopped drinking Guinness, they'd turn into a flamingo.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Now, another bit of hijinks I once had with a flamingo is this. In my hometown in Newcastle, there's a hunting shop, right? You get like a decoy duck and you put the duck down and the other birds see and they're attracted.
It has that weird noise.
Yeah,
and in the hunting shop in my hometown, which is not noted for its tropical birds, they've got a plastic in the window for years, a plastic flamingo. Now, I can only guess that either they were like, they ordered a load of decoy birds and they went, oh, stick a flamingo in there. or there's genuinely people in the northeast of England
who are hunting
flamingos.
It's a big one down at the taxidermist. Someone walks in with a flamingo. Here's one for you, which you may not or may not know. Two flamingos in the front garden, i.e. the flamingo statue, indicates swinging good hair.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
And you'd want to know that before you put two flamingos up in your front garden.
I mean,
in case.
Very difficult for any swingers in my hometown. They put the two flamingos in the garden. The next thing, people are shooting at them. That's going to be confusing. Because in the UK, the word on the street for the swingers was pampas grass.
Oh,
what? You know what's that?
Pampas grass.
It's like a sort of it's hard.
Like sharp leaves. Yeah, massive.
Yeah. And also, I tell you what, I mean, like, I visited Africa and there's a lot of swingers over there. I mean,
there's a lot of swinging going on the Serengeti.
A lot of swingers in Africa.
Oh, my God.
So, at all.
And that gives me a great excuse. When I went into that village, and
this wasn't on Robben Island, was it?
Don't put the flamingos out the front.
I'm starting to understand what Toto were on about all these years ago.
Hey, plenty more with Mick and Jane on the way, including Charlie Pickering in the next 30 minutes. Now, tomorrow is our no talk day. We're not talking, so you can. So tomorrow, no shows, no ads, no news or traffic reports all day. Go to beyondblue.org.au for advice on how to start what could be one of the most important conversations you'll ever have about mental health. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
It's all thanks to the Carlton and United Breweries Tap Torch, celebrating doors reopening. Visit loveofyourlocal.com.au, buy a beer voucher, and CUB will match that donation pint for pint when you head into Redeem. Nice one. Now, Jane and Mick love to keep an eye on the royal family, and Jane, well, she's a royal lover. We know that, Prince Edward and all, you know the letter. Anyway, she wanted to test Mick's knowledge of the royals. Here is a special Kennedy Malloy royal quiz.
I now declare the Monarchy Marvel quiz open. Mick Malloy,
what's the instrument
approach.
You think of when you think of the royals? Is it the harp?
The harp.
Harpsichord.
The harpsichord. Snap, snap.
Trumpet, royal trumpets.
Yeah.
Correct, yes. The organ.
The organ, mouth organ.
Yes. Violins.
Bongos.
Oh, bongos are royal.
So much bongos. That'd be,
about
that'd
to
be great.
The cowbell. The it's royal cowbell.
All right, what do you got? So this
are
is
you ready?
A quiz.
Yeah, This is a quiz that appears in New Idea, and it's think you know everything about the royal family? Well, let's put you to the test.
I'm
all right,
here.
Question one. What royal went to finishing school in Switzerland for just one term? Was it Princess Diana, Princess Anne, or Princess Margaret?
Princess Anne. Thank you.
Princess Diana. How many tiers was the Queen's wedding cake?
12.
A, 8, B, 6, or C, 4?
Well, if you put the 4 on top of the 8.
All right, I'll give you that one. Well,
how many was it? 8?
4.
4?
4.
Yeah,
four
they're
tiers.
A bit stingy in those days. Yeah.
Hell, it would take her to blow that out.
They didn't want to get married in the first place. Yeah. Okay, question 3. How many years are there between Prince Andrew and Princess Anne? God, I had no idea.
How many years is there between Prince Andrew and his dates would be a more relevant question. And Princess Anne, who
yes.
I would... Are you going to give me some... Is it multiple
yeah,
choice or not?
A15, B6, or C9.
Ooh.
How many years between them?
9. There it is.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, well done.
That's a big gap, isn't
my
it? Between Princess Anne and Andrew. We've got time for one more.
Yes, sure. We do, Jane. Of
what UK size shoe does the Queen wear? Size A, 2, B, 4, or C, 6? These are UK sizes,
okay.
Mind you.
I know this one because in royal circles, she's known, her nickname's Clodhoppers.
You're going 6, which is the biggest.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's 4. Ah. She's got quite a nice average foot.
How many corgis has she got?
That's interchangeable all the time.
Is her husband still alive?
Yeah, he's in that photo.
There's a question.
I've seen the photo. I see him standing there. I'm going to ask it again. Is her husband still alive?
Okay, I've got one more.
Yes, please.
Yes.
What nickname has Prince Andrew been given by the newspapers? A, the Duke of Hazard. B, Air Miles Andy. Or C, Randy Andy.
The Duke of Hazard would be good. I like that.
Correct.
One.
You're correct. Well done, Mick. Well done.
Ah, well done. Well,
that has been the Monarchy Marvel Quiz.
Well done all.
Hey, make sure you check out the Kennedy Malloy Instagram for all the latest from Jane and Mick. All right, Charlie Pickering's going to join us in 15 minutes.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, which is probably why the show's called Kennedy Malloy. That's just my best guess.
And Charlie Pickering.
I think like everyone... I've watched everything now.
Yes.
You know, I've finished Netflix and I've watched all the TV. You know, like I've officially run out.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do something for you guys this afternoon and for the listeners. I have decided that YouTube is an untapped resource. If you feel you've watched everything, there is
YouTube.
An incredible array on YouTube. I spent a lot of time researching shows that got cancelled.
Right.
All right, you don't want the popular good
in
stuff.
In your mind on there?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of Malloy up there.
Yeah.
A lot of Malloy.
Yeah. YouTube.
The Eyes Wide Shut ending was, a lot of people remember it. But this one completely snuck under the radar.
Okay.
It was in 2003. It was an American show. Now, I'm not going to tell you the premise of the show yet. It's a dating show.
Mm.
To start off, listen to the warning they give at the start of the first episode. Listen to this.
Attention viewers. The male contestants in this program may be lying or misrepresenting themselves at all times, including in their interviews.
Now, that could be any reality show, let's be honest.
It's just a normal relationship, I would have thought. It's like a Tinder date. Yep, no, that's me. Yes, I'm a doctor.
But how exciting is that? Yeah. Before you even watch the show, you go, this is going to be good. I'm not going to tell you what the show is called because it will give it away. This is the premise of the show. Sit back and enjoy.
This sweet, innocent Midwestern girl named Jackie is about to meet 14 men. Oh! She thinks she's going to find true love. But not all of the guys are here for romance. Some of them are gay.
What? I shave my legs, so there's a definite possibility that somebody may think I'm gay.
Some people may very well construe baking a cheesecake as being gay.
I am a straight man.
Everybody's gay but me.
He's like the biggest flamer I've ever met in my life.
If Jackie ends up picking a straight guy, she and he will each win $500,000. But if she falls for a gay guy, he will win the whole million.
What?
And she will walk away with nothing.
This is hilarious.
Wow. Yeah, it is. It is one of the greatest, wrongest premises for a show. The show is called Playing It Straight.
Mm.
And the whole idea is there are secret gays within this dating show.
Embedded.
And she has to figure out who is gay and who is not. And I've got some highlights from the first episode. It is amazing. It is politically incorrect. Let's be really frank. But in the first episode, there's a great moment where they've all met her for the first time.
Yes.
And they get in a room together and debrief, and they try to basically communicate how not gay they are.
Okay.
And fail.
Jackie's got the cutest face. She's got the cutest dimples.
I think she's got great...
She's got nice everything.
Very supple.
This part of the competition, trying to figure out who's straight and who's gay is tough. I look at these guys, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be up to Jackie. That's the bottom line.
She's got nice legs. I like thick legs.
No, listen to me.
She doesn't have like little skinny chicken legs.
I like chicken legs. Are okay. I like skinny. No,
I don't like chicken legs.
Okay. No, I like skinny
little
ankles.
I like big legs.
Skinny little ankles and a muscular calf. That's the best.
All right, stop.
Wait. Y'all look at her rack.
Mate, you're trying too hard. You're just trying too hard.
Pick that guy.
Type in Playing It Straight. You can watch a bunch of episodes. Hilarious. It's safe to say this poor woman's gaydar does not work.
Always great having Charlie on the show. You're listening to Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off. It's thanks to the Carlton and United Breweries Tap Torch. Celebrating doors, reopening. loveofyourlocal.com.au.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Yeah. Listen up, Australia. While Mick and Jane have a well-earned break, we're heading back to the archives. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
G'day, you got Dangerous Dave here this afternoon, and thanks to Carlton and United Breweries, the Tap Torch, celebrating doors reopening. Visit loveofyourlocal.com.au, buy a beer voucher, and CUB will match that donation pint for pint when you head in to redeem. Huge hour coming up this hour as Mick and Jane take the week off, a well-earned mid-year break. Coming up soon, a study has come out that found kids in 2020 are worse at doing something you and I could do when we were kids. What could that be? We're going to find out in a minute.
Kennedy Malloy.
Back live on the radio, July 13. My name's Dangerous Dave. Hello to you. Hey, there's a study come out, you might have heard about this, that kids today can't jump nearly as high as kids that grew up back in the 80s. And we asked the question, what else can't kids do today?
Kids today... Well, they don't have the same experiences as us. They're just a bunch of trained monkeys chained to their laptop, their iPad, their tablet. We used to climb trees.
We used to get out and about.
What? Billy carts.
Oh, yeah.
Now, remember Billy
carts? I do.
Now, how's this for a foolish undertaking?
Right.
Yeah. Not only was it built with your father.
Yes.
Who would sit there and hand make it and
they're right. together.
He was the one who would also push you down the hill in something that is not roadworthy.
Nah.
What was one thing that was always missing from a billy cart?
A helmet?
Inception.
Brakes.
A brake.
Yeah. The brake was something that bothered me. Oncoming traffic was an issue, let's be honest. Yeah, you had to time it just right.
Yep.
But that's a good one. Let's get into it. Brett?
Mate, these kids these days are stuck to their laptops and their iPads.
Yep.
They don't even play cricket with the wheelie bins. They don't kick the footy. they can't ride their bike because all the traffic and the cars on the road.
So the footy and the cricket's an interesting one. Because out the front on your street, you'd be kick the ball, kick the ball, kick the ball, car!
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody shout out car and you'd all run off the road.
Yeah.
And then you would reconvene and away you would go.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was how it was.
Yeah. But that's not the kids' fault ultimately, because some old biddy will probably call the coppers now. There'll be a charge. The councils are much more bolshy than they ever used to
There's a million reasons, but it's gone the way of the dodo. Yeah. Get them indoors where they can't hurt anyone. Where they can't put a cricket ball through a neighbour's window.
Cotton wool.
Michael's on the line. Michael,
hello, Michael.
What do you remember that's not about today?
The old monkey bars and the roundabouts in the playground.
So they don't have those anymore. They don't have the roundabout, do they?
I haven't seen those for a long time.
Jeez, that used to get up ahead of steam.
Oh, yeah.
The whizzy dizzy.
You really burned up some centrifugal force.
Oh, my God. I terrified those things.
They could go very fast.
You come off that and
I've had a few toddlers sort of that dun, 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 as they're approaching it, going out of control and going, oh, no, what's going to happen?
The monkey bar, look, we've all come off the Tanbark Park with some...
Yeah, that's right. Covered in...
Broken wrist or something. That's just part of growing up. Roscoe.
Oh, look, they wouldn't know anything about firecrackers, Mickey.
Firecrackers.
Oh, yeah.
The old Tom Thumbs and the penny... Big penny bangers.
Well, the double banger nearly got me up on federal charges.
Oh, yeah.
The neighbour would build himself a new letterbox and bang, away it goes.
Yeah. Well, I put a double banger in a federal letterbox, which apparently is a crime punishable by...
How did you not end up in a boy's home?
Because I was about 6 or 7.
In an orphanage or something.
And then you get a Roman candle and chase your brother around the garden, pointing them at each other.
That's terrifying.
What's a Roman candle?
It just goes out
the back.
You're like a wizard from Harry Potter.
That's right. Was it Guy Fawkes Night? That was the night that you had the firecracker.
Yes, in November.
You nailed the Catherine wheel to the back fence and then...
We did that. We used to do that. The good fun days. Now they just have to have a sparkler and it's pathetic.
A sparkler on a cake. There you go. Brett, what are the kids missing out on?
What I did when I was 10 in 1970, we had our only holiday up to Queensland and we had Dad had a HT wagon bench seat, so the front seat had no seatbelt. and my job, the three brothers and sisters are in the back seat and I got to sit there, and then when Dad wanted a cigarette, he'd give me a nudge and I'd push in the fancy lighter, light a cigarette for him, and then Mum would say, well, I'll have one as well while we're there. So I spent my time from Sydney to Queensland lighting fags.
I relate. I've told you after my parents' dinner parties, and they used to have two a week at least, that my sister and I, we would have the leftovers from when they first arrived that have gin and tonics or a brandy and dry, and my sister and I just go around and just... skull at about the age of 10 all the leftover drinks. That is why my sister and I have a problem today.
Yeah, I was going to say, that does explain a lot.
It really does.
Yep. Hey, I think we've got time for one more. Let's do it. Michelle's on the line.
My brother and I, we had a laneway behind us.
Yep.
And we used to be able to just get on our bikes, go for a ride. And we used to have great adventures. And I remember one, there was this the back of one of the stores in the laneway, and we found this really nice doll, and it was all blown up. And we thought it was very exciting, and we brought it home to show Mum and Dad, and they took it off us and threw it away.
Oh, dear. Yeah, the roaming. They're just saying, see you, Mum and Dad, at 9 in the morning. Well, coming back when it's dark. They have no idea where you are all day. I relate to that.
My sisters went for a walk and set fire to Hawker Hill.
Did they?
Yes. They denied it. Tried to pin it on me.
Now you've just said it to nationalists.
You make a good point that I remember my mum when I was a kid used to say, the only writing instructions, be home by dark.
That's it.
They wouldn't ask where you were or what you were doing. And she still says that. Michael, be home by sunrise.
Yeah. All right, coming up, awkward moments on TV and on the floor of Parliament. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
And it is thanks to the fine people at Carlton and United Breweries. They've got the Tap Torch happening, celebrating doors reopening. Visit loveofyourlocal.com.au. Buy a beer voucher and CUB will match that donation pint for pint when you head in to redeem. All right, coming up, our first awkward moment comes to us from the US. One of the worst things a broadcaster can do is to announce the death of someone, who's very much alive.
US newsreader who's had to apologise on air after a cringeworthy on-air gaffe in which he mistakenly declared a coronavirus patient had died.
Oh, no.
Fact is, he hadn't. and was alive, and it was a feel-good story. And Bill Ritter's the guy's name. He's an anchor New York's ABC 2.
Righto.
Or Z. He told viewers he felt horrible as soon as he realised the unfortunate error in his update about a young man whose coronavirus battle had already been featured on the show. Let's have a listen to how it unfolded on air.
The former Ridgewood High School lacrosse star and two-time All-American was in a medically induced coma after coming down with a virus after spending time on a ventilator and 5 full weeks in the hospital. The governor today announcing that Jack has died. I feel horrible. Jack is very much alive. Jack, we love you. And your story closer to all of us again. Jack is alive and back home. He has come home. Not in the figurative sense, but in the quite literal sense. And my deepest apologies for that.
Oh, my Lord.
Can I say this?
Yes.
There aren't too many things you can get really wrong.
It's interesting. But
pronouncing someone dead is not dead.
Interesting.
To me, he is absolutely unforgivable.
Interesting you say
me,
that.
No, look, I think there's nothing
I don't think
say,
you have a leg to stand on when it comes to this, Mick. I'm going to take you back to when you did Breakfast Radio with Eddie McGuire many years ago, and there was a lot of chatter about
this.
I'm
going to burn this bit of tape.
In fact,
this
comes up quite a bit when you killed Olivia Newton-John's relative, Kinnikis. We know him from Greece. Take a listen.
You lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that he has.
Oh, pardon me. I may have gone.
No, he was married to my sister, and she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Okay, sorry to hear that.
That's known as the Kinnicky incident, by the way.
In my defence, I was first with the news, and I was ultimately proved right in that case. Mate, what have you got that on? Do you just carry that around with you, do you?
I feel like we need to hear it again. I think so.
You lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that he has.
Oh, so pardon me. I may have gone. I might have called it too. I know he's very unwell.
He's very ill. He was married to my sister, and she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Sorry to hear that.
What a horrible thing to say to
her. I'll see you, Dave.
One of Australia's sweethearts, Olivia Newton-John, and you say that to her face. You killed off her brother-in-law.
Now, this is just occurring to me
what?
Right now. Did you or did you not kill off Jim Whaley?
Oh, that's right.
You did. Find me that bit of footage. Was it Jim Whaley?
It was Jim Whaley because someone mentioned
him. And then someone rang up and said, I'm his neighbour. I saw him this morning.
Oh, I've got that audio if you wanted to hear it.
Please.
Okay, here it is.
So he's not being extradited, is that correct? Or he's just going to stay?
Oh, Jane, I don't know. What am I?
Oh, sorry to use a big word
what
for
am
you,
I,
mate.
Jim Whaley?
Jim Whaley, rest in peace.
Oh, sorry. So Jim probably would have had that news. Is this, really?
Yes.
He's been dead for years.
Jim Whaley is alive and well.
And how do you know this, Dom?
I worked on his house on Monday.
I'm so sorry to the Whaley family. I really am still a help. That's what a horrible thing to do.
Why would you kill off Jim Whaley?
Well, I thought Jim, because I haven't seen him on the TV for many years, and he was dominating nighttime TV, Nightline, with Jim Whaley for years. So I thought.
I mean, you don't want to lose Jim Whaley and Laurie Oakes in one year.
That's true. Two heavyweights.
He's not dead, mate. Laurie Oakes isn't dead.
You killed Kinnicky, I killed off Jim, and we're all, well, actually, as you said, you're first with the news. You can check out the Kennedy Malloy Instagram story and stay here for awkward moment number two, this time from the floor of Parliament.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Now, politicians spend a lot of time being recorded, especially when Parliament's in session, and most of the time it's really boring. But there was this one time that it was interesting, but for the wrong reasons.
This was from Question Time in Parliament, Josh Frydenberg. I think he's got the Rona.
Oh, no.
Well, he was delivering a ministerial statement the economic impact of the coronavirus crisis.
Do not go within 1.5 metres of the federal treasurer. If you know what's good for you, have a listen.
The owner of a local restaurant who said JobKeeper saved our bacon. And Adrian, owner of an auto business. Sorry. Sorry. Lucky I've got some water. Too long a speech. Light. It's all right. My voice. Sorry. Like Luke, the owner of a local restaurant in Barney.
He's cooked.
He's got Corona Plus. Is there like an A-plus grade of coronavirus you can get?
Quite an
But I don't know why you're laughing.
Get him a
don't do it. It's unprofessional. Get out there and
Oh, really? Unprofessional, is it? For the last 2 weeks, I've been getting on my Instagram and Twitter feed. What's going on with more Mick and his coughing? Has it been tested? What's going on? Actually, Maddie might have compiled a little episode.
Come on, get involved.
Kennedy Malloy.
Parker's on the line. Come on, Park.
What's wrong with you?
I'm waiting on my electronic voice box. Elective surgery. Taking that out of context.
What the hell?
Hey, make sure you check out Kennedy Malloy. We are on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, you can listen through the app wherever you are.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We're done for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, tomorrow, it's a really big day here on the network because tomorrow is our no talk day. We're not talking, so you can. So no Kennedy Malloy show tomorrow. In fact, on the station, no shows, no ads, no news or traffic reports all day. What you can do is go to beyondblue.org.au for advice on how to start what could be one of the most important conversations you'll ever have about mental health. That's tomorrow. It's No Talk Day. We will be back Thursday. Drive you home again with Kennedy Malloy. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Kennedy Malloy Catch-Up. As your local reopens, you can show them your support by buying a beer voucher at loveofyourlocal.com.au. CUB will match that donation pint for pint when you head in to redeem. It's good to be back.